Praise the Lord. Wonderful. We had a great service on Wednesday night and had the new hymnals for the first time, and it was kind of fun. People kept calling out numbers and songs we haven't sung in years, many of us, because they weren't in the other hymnal, and that was a lot of fun. I forgot to take testimonies. We all got so wrapped up in that, but it was exciting. It is always exciting. You will notice songs that aren't in the new hymnal that we are trying to compile a list of those, and we're working on a little chorus book to have in the backs of the pews for, especially for Wednesday nights when the children are in, and they tend to treat hymnals a little different than the way adults, well, the way adults should. But anyway, so we're kind of working on that and a lot of different ideas that way to incorporate and keep songs that we love. And it is amazing how many songs you know when you've been in church for years and years and years, all the different good songs. And what a blessing it is to have those available to us and to be able to sing them. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians. We're on lesson number one. And I've entitled Ephesians, Blessed with All Blessings. And lesson one, we are covering Ephesians 1, 1 to 3. And our theme verse really for all of Ephesians would be Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So we'll go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, then the verse, then the reference. And to begin, Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3. And again, Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3. Father, we do thank you for those many, many blessings. As we study Ephesians, we of course see the blessing of salvation. We see the blessing of assurance. We see the blessing of being your workmanship and being able to serve you, and that sure is a blessing. We see the blessings of heaven. We see the blessings of the inheritance and just all the wonderful things, God. You're so good to us, and you blessed us with a great week there at the fair and out soul winning, and so many blessings this week. Thank you so much for that, and help us to be excited, encouraged, as Dale prayed, to be on fire for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we are studying Ephesians 1, 1 to 3 for lesson 1. The first thing we looked at was the description. That was a couple of weeks ago. We had Brother Hayes here last week, and that was a blessing. Always enjoy being around Brother Hayes. And so Roman number 1, the description. And it is revealing our blessings, and that is verses 1 to 3. Of Ephesians 1, but we break that down a little bit. Capital A, the author of Ephesians. We know that the Lord is the author. We know that the words come from God. We understand all that, but he used the Apostle Paul, who was Saul before he was saved, and we talked about how he introduces himself. Again, the signing of a letter in New Testament times was at the beginning, so Paul puts Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And we talked about all of that, and certainly how important it is to deal with by the will of God. You know, Paul knew he was Paul by the will of God. He knew that he was an apostle by the will of God. He knew that he was and believed that he was right in the center of God's will. And boy, you ought to, that is one of the most important things. I was counseling with a couple of counseling. See, I say that. We're at the fair tent. That's one of the difficulties of pastors at the fair tent. I sit down and start counseling with people. But anyway, a couple of young men who just graduated from high school, a young lady who is a senior this year, and they go to the other, quote, Christian school here in town. And anyway, they both had all these plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I said, have you ever just prayed and said, God, what do you want me to do? It's like, well, why would, you know, we know what we want. You know, folks, the will of God, it is the most important thing. And Paul really holds on to it here as he, and in other letters, we see this by the will of God. And, you know, hey, are you here today by the will of God? Did you work at the fair tent by the will of God? Did you play the piano by the will of God? Did you sing in the choir by the will of God? What do you do? Do you do things in your life by the? This is what God wants me to do. That's why I'm doing it. Did you go shopping by the will of God? You say, well, now wait a minute. Yeah, seriously. I mean, we ought to walk. If the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then we know He's ordering our steps, and it's His will. And this is not rocket science. It's just, you say, well, I'd have to be online with Jesus 24 hours a day. That's exactly what we should be, as best we can. God, should I go here? Should I do this? You know, do you really want the good deals? See, this is why I can't get through Ephesians. There's just too much preaching. But do you want the best deals? Then follow the will of God. Do you want the best thing to happen? Follow the will of God. Anyway, okay, let's move on. So we talked about capital A, then the author, capital B, the audience. Again, we're talking about the description that really we break down Ephesians into just three different sections, but they're just very long sections. And so we're talking about the author here. We're talking then about the audience. And again, you know, we're not going to just rush through this because it's important things for us as we study Ephesians. By the way, we're not in really any hurry, are we? Could we just go ahead and go in and teach this until Jesus comes or till we go? I mean, it really, why be in a hurry? Amen. So we talked about how this letter was written as, we'll call it a circular letter. In other words, it was written with the idea of inserting the name of the church at the top there, like we might do on a computer, only they didn't have computers. They would rewrite or copy the letter by hand, and just simply when it goes to Thessalonica, or when it goes somewhere else, when it goes to Laodicea, and so on. And here, Tychicus, we assume, would have added at Ephesus, like he did here in verse 1. And so the way we have this idea is because there don't seem to be the personal notes, personal messages to any specific church. And so this was very common. Colossians 4:16 gave you that verse as to seeing that practice and how that took place. And so we came to some things about the audience here that are important. I really only have, I wrote down three things that just jump out at me. Number one, they're in Christ. They're in Christ. That's what we talked about. Paul uses this 164 times, the words in Christ. 27 times in the book of Ephesians. Now that's a lot of times to use in Christ. And because again, it was so important to him. He knew that of himself, he's wicked. Of himself, he's a sinner. Of himself, he's a disappointment. Of himself, he was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. I mean, his whole life, his whole past. But here's what he's rejoicing about and what we ought to rejoice about. In Christ, anything's possible. In Christ, all things are new. In Christ, fooey on the past, amen? And so he likes it. He likes that terminology. And in Christ for forgiveness, in Christ for our salvation, in Christ for our assurance. I mean, you have to understand, if you're sure today that you're saved, it's because you're sure you're in Christ. Because if you stand alone, you couldn't possibly be sure. If I stood alone, there's no way in this world. I know me. Now, I know you think I'd never sin. But my wife will tell you differently. But I stand in Christ, and I know that I'm saved because I'm in Christ. And so that is so important in Christ. We ended here. We were talking about this. First of all, in Christ, that is a place in Christ. In other words, we're surrounded by Him. There's so much that is so good. in our lives. We are surrounded by him. Keep in mind, nothing happens to you but what God allows. He allows it to happen. And I thank God for that. I thank God that there is nothing. And so, some people take that and they get bitter. Some people take that and they say, well, if God let this happen. No, if God let this happen, God knew you could handle it. Or he would never let it happen. And so it is a place. Second of all, it is a position. In Christ is a position. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:21, we are now righteous. That's what I say. In Christ, it is a position that I have. Somebody says, well, you know, who do you think you are? I know who I am, but I also know who I'm in. And in Christ, I stand forgiven. I stand righteous. It is a position. And then it is also, not only that, it is a portion. It is a portion. In Christ, you know, if we talk about, well, I'm in business, some kind of a business or something like that, that means that we receive goods or we may suffer as a whole business. Well, the truth of the matter is, in Christ, I get the blessings of being in Christ. But let's not forget, there are also the sufferings of being in Christ. It is our portion. It is in Christ is a portion that we've got a whole group of people today that want in Christ to just be blessing, good, happy, this, that, and they don't want to recognize that Jesus was very clear. They hated him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as soon as that hits us, and that becomes part of our life, we somehow think, oh, that's no good. That can't be right. And we get away from Christ. And we decide to quit going to church or quit serving God, quit reading our Bible. All of a sudden we decide, you know what? I don't want the trials. I don't want the suffering. I don't want, yeah, we want all the blessings. We just don't want the problems that come with it. And in Christ is both. It's a portion. And so Paul recognized that you have, I mean, come on, people. All we have to do is read our Bibles and we find out that, yes, the Apostle Paul, he saw the blessings. It's so interesting when I went to Bible college as a new Christian, and I'm learning everything pretty much brand new. And these pastors come in and I'm thinking, wow, you know, boy, look, people clap for them and they sit on the platform. Everybody loves them. Boy, to be a pastor, everybody's going to love you. I thank God that I had a pastor there that said, there's the other side to that. Could you imagine if all I had in my notes was pastors are loved by everyone. When you come to a city, they roll out the red carpet. When you come to a city, they all love you. When you come to the city, they give you the keys to the city. Everybody, if I'd had that in my notes, and when I went and started a church in Bern, Indiana, can you imagine how devastated I would have been? Because they didn't roll out the red carpet. And if they gave me the keys, it was to the jail. To let myself in. I mean, they wanted nothing to do. And you know what? There's always going to be that. The devil absolutely hates those who are in Christ. He's going to attack. He really is. So again, in Christ, we have the blessings of Christ, but we also have the sufferings of Christ. And we're finding more and more Christians, they're wanting to get away from those sufferings of Christ. Therefore, they're going to give up the blessings. Are you listening to me? You also give up the blessings. You know, honestly, it's like several folks are exhausted today. Sheila, wake up. Anyway, because they were tearing down last night, tearing down the tent and all that kind of stuff. And Brother Chase, I know Brother Chase is just kind of existing today. You know, it'll be, yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, it was a long week, and that's his thing, that's his ministry. But you got all those blessings. Wow, so many blessings, so many wonderful things. I know the times that I was there. You know, it was hot, and I'm standing out there with my bald head, and it got burned up here on top, and And, you know, but the blessings, there's so many blessings. And you know, someday, if things keep going, and everything deteriorates, folks, can you imagine one of these days, Berean Baptist Church will not have a tent. Berean Baptist Church will not be at the fair. Berean Baptist Church will not have smileys, little gospel booklets, will not have gospel tracts. We'll do what others do, and we'll pass off the blessings because we're tired of the trials. Oh, listen to me, folks. It's a bad trade. Be in Christ. Stay in Christ. Now, again, I'm not saying we're going to do that next year, because we're not. I'm just saying that's the way everything goes. Do you understand some of the churches today that are the most worldly, carnal messes in this world? They used to be at the fair giving out tracts and winning people to Christ. But you know, the blessings. And there's a lot of Christians. You used to get the blessings, but you got tired of the trials. Yeah. Anyway, I get preaching on that kind of stuff. We need to be in Christ. And again, Paul speaks of himself in Christ by the will of God. It is the will of God to be in Christ. And so as we think about the audience here, this is an audience of people who are saved people who are in Christ. And then number two, they're called saints. The audience is not only in Christ, but they also are called saints, it says, to the saints. Notice in verse 1 there. And again, very, very important thing to understand about the audience here. Saints, the word saint, that's kind of a lost word anymore. People don't use that very often, and the word is hagioi, and it's something that God takes out of common use and consecrates for heavenly use. Do you understand? It is something, you know. I realize we always think of, oh, when the saints go marching in. All right, well, that's good. I mean, that is that. But let's understand what it really means. A saint, it is like something that is holy. It is something that God has taken out of common use, sinful use, worldly use, other use, and he has put it into his use. That's what a saint is. That's a good deal. I like that. That is awesome. And it is a wonderful, wonderful way to define, and the Apostle Paul, why would he care? Well, because he recognized that's exactly what he was. He's on his way to kill Christians, and now he's preaching to Christians. Imagine that. That's saint set aside for God's use. The same word, hagion, which is a temple. It's a building. It is a building that a man cannot say, well, this is consecrated to God. God has to say, this is consecrated to me. God is the one that makes a saint. God is the one that makes a sanctified whatever it might be. God is the one who takes it from its former use and makes it into his use. This property is sanctified, consecrated, not by Berean Baptist Church. We trust that this property, which used to be a brickyard, which if you went out into the field out there and dug, you would find that out. But it used to be a brickyard, and who knows what it's been other times. But God is the one. A group of people said, we will take this and we will build a building on it, and we hope God will use it. God will use it. God will use everything about it, and God will use everything on it, on the property. And then it's up to God as to what he does with those things. Same thing with a body. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then he takes us and he uses us for his service. Anyway, I love it. God is the one that has to do it. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, look at that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know of a better way to describe what he did for us that makes me a saint. And it doesn't mean we're perfect. It means that we are set apart by him for his use. And, you know, the saints in the New Testament loved to be together. They had fellowship. We, you know, again, it is so important. Who put you here? Who put you in the position that you are in as far as a saint? Well, the Lord did. Then we have something in common. Well, yeah, but I did. No, you know, it all starts with recognizing by the grace of God, I am what I am. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the Lord. People have asked me before, you know what? You're always giving your testimony. All I ever hear is your testimony. I get so tired. Well, first of all, I know my testimony better than I know anybody else's. I really do. I know my testimony pretty well. But I like to be reminded of my testimony. I like to remember what God did. Again, I don't want to talk about and think about all the stuff I did, because none of that would glorify God. But I sure like to remember what he did, and I know what he did. And do you find yourself forgetting what he did? You know, any time I had somebody talk about, we visited a church somewhere, and they were the elite. And I in my mind, I thought, what's that mean? You had to have money, you had to have prestige, you had to have, you know, be a big shot at work and all that kind of stuff. You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is opposite of that. It's not anything to do with what you are. It is everything to do with who he is and what he has done in our lives. And we have got to remember that. We will never, ever accomplish what God has for us until we recognize that without him, we're nothing. We're absolutely nothing. Let's go ahead and take the offering a little bit early. Glenn looks nervous. So I don't want Glenn ever to be nervous. Right, Glenn? Sometimes he can't hear me. I can get away with saying things about him. But here, the key thing as we think about the audience here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then later on it talks about being in Christ, and we've talked about that. Obviously, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. But here's the thing that kind of, you know, you're expecting when I talk about the audience, and that is they are in Ephesus. They are in Ephesus. And it is so important that we recognize that, these are people. They are God's people. They are in Christ Jesus. They have him not only in them, but they're in him, the Bible says. And they are saints. They're called out. They're called by him to be used by him. And yet, they're in the world. They're in Ephesus. They're not, you know, have you ever wondered when you got saved, why didn't God just take me to heaven? Why didn't God, you know, as soon as somebody gets saved, they just go right to heaven? And certainly we all, we know that'd be, seems like that'd be better for us, right? Well, it would be better for us. I'd have my chocolate lake. And anyway, of course, I don't know if that'd be better. But have you ever thought about that? Instead, we're still here in this world. And then we're told that this world is not my home. It's kind of hard, isn't it? It's hard for us not to put down our roots, right? We kind of like that. You know, Brenda and I, we came here in 2002, 13 years ago. So 13 years ago right now, we were in our first couple of months here. And part of that time, we had gone on a trip that we had already scheduled to Hawaii. So we hadn't been here very long. But you know, we lived in the prophet's chamber. And in the prophet's chamber, obviously, we had all of our possessions were in a storage building in Flint, which anything in Flint is scary. We were not able to get comfortable in a prophet's chamber. We were not able to settle in. We had none of our pictures on the walls. I say our pictures. I should say my wife's pictures and her doodads. Anyway, I have to be very careful. I'm thinking birdhouses. I'm thinking birds. I'm thinking bluebirds. I'm thinking stuff. You ladies know what I'm talking about, right? So we didn't have. So we're not. You know, I mean, really, we could have come and gone pretty easy, and some wish that we would have. But then we moved into the house. And they finally got it done after 5 months, and we moved into the house that we're living in. But you know, honestly, it really amazes me that everything's still in boxes. We still have a lot of stuff in boxes we haven't unpacked. In fact, colors have changed. All the stuff that we used to have that you know, all the color coordinated different, well, those are out now. And now they've been out and in and out and in since we, you know, because it's been 13 years. And really, to be honest, we just haven't put, because it's not our house. So we just haven't really put down any roots. And we feel like, you know, we're always looking at houses for sale, but we just, you know, it doesn't work out. But we're always thinking about that. And we think, wow, you know, we do have a home, but we really don't have a home. And God says, that's kind of how I want you to be here in this world, is you're home, but you're really not home, because that's home. Amen. And in reality, it is a temporary time, and we think it's a long time. You know, we who you know, we've been here for a few years, and we think, wow, boy, it just seems like that was a long time ago. Try to imagine that compared to eternity. Let's say you're 60 years old. That's so short of a time compared to eternity. And so the audience here is in the world. It's a group of people. God is going to tell him, you know what, I can give you blessings. And they look around, and it's like, how can there be blessings in this world? This world is, there's sin. There's you know, honestly, this is a group of people who will face terrible persecution. A group of people who, you know, news is coming and going about persecution and death. And the one writing the letter was the cause of a lot of it. But you know what? God knows that we're here. God knows what's going on. God knows that Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, he knows that he's working all around us. He knows that we're surrounded by evil. He knows that there's wickedness all around, right? He knows that. God knows where we are. God knew that in Ephesus, he knew there was sin all around, even within. We read about it in the book of Acts and some of the different things, the idolatry and all that was taking place. And he knows that we are too. We're surrounded. You know, we hear about, we know that we see the Christians lined up in the Middle East, and they're lined up and with the bags over their heads, and then their heads are chopped, and we think, oh my, you know, and we know that's Islam, and then we know that Islam is in Dearborn, big. How many of you have been to Dearborn lately? Anybody? Yeah, it's everywhere. It really is. Now, all those people don't have machetes to cut off your head. But again, we just know that threat is all around us. And then we know that Supreme Court is making it much more difficult to carry on as Bible-believing, obedient Christians in so many ways. And it isn't going to get better. It probably is. It would appear it's going to get worse. And so we're surrounded. But God knows we're here. We're His saints, remember? And we're in Christ. And you know, one of the good illustrations, you know, a ship out in the middle of the ocean is literally surrounded by water. But all the water in that whole ocean can't hurt that ship as long as it's on the outside. And you know, folks, as long as we keep wickedness and evil and everything else on the outside, we're safe. We get hurt when it gets on the inside. And let's be honest, we're the ones that open that door, right? And so, you know what? We're surrounded by sin, but as long as it's on the outside, it's smooth sailing for the Christian. And praise the Lord. You know, the letter to the Ephesian people, again, is such so much powerful truth in it. I hope it's a blessing to you. Is that really this lesson was kind of a, or this section so far has been more of an introduction as to who we are and everything. We'll move on to capital C, the admonition, and then the announcement in capital D, and deal with verses 2 and 3. But just again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you.